Also, by way of announcement, we've had some people living on the book of Exodus, chapter 33, also Psalms 91. Exodus 33, we'll read verses 18 through verse 23. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Then in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. In the text in Exodus, we want to take our thought from what God said to Moses. Behold, there is a place by me. And from our text in Psalm, we see in verse 1, the secret place of the Most High. I believe that both of these have reference to Jesus Christ. When God said to Moses, Behold, there is a place by me, he was speaking of Christ. When the psalmist wrote of that secret place, he was speaking of Jesus Christ. Our subject this evening is Jesus Christ, a special place. Jesus Christ, a special place. First of all, consider the context of these statements that we've read here in Exodus and Psalms. The scene of Exodus 33 is a scene of great need. Back in chapter 24, in verse 12, Moses was invited by God to go up to Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord. And Moses would spend 40 days and 40 nights in that mount with God. We read in Exodus 24, verse 16, And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. So in that mountain, Moses experienced God's glory. Exodus 32, verse 15, Moses comes down from that mountain. And when he did, remember he has the tables of stone where God had given him the Ten Commandments. He came down and he saw the Israelites lewdly dancing, worshiping the golden calf that they had made. So there is Moses. He had spent 40 blessed days in the presence of God, communing with God, in harmony and accord with God, personally experiencing the glory of the Lord. And then he comes down, he hears a noise. He comes down, he sees the people and all the sadness that came over him. What a setback. He now experiences. And he is now faced with the intimidating task of leading this people. That's his task. Before Moses, as he looks at these people, is the daunting task of leading a rebellious people. In Exodus 33, Moses is in need. He's seeking what he needs. He needs assurance from God. He needs God's presence. He needs God's guidance. He needs God's help. And in verse 16 or verse 18, he cries out, "Show me thy glory. Lord, I need to see your glory." He'd already experienced it up in the mount, remember. 40 days and 40 nights. But now he's faced with this daunting task of leading this people who had the audacity to make a calf and give unto that calf glory that was due unto God. So Moses prays, "Show me thy glory." That is, "Lord, show me thy beauty, show me thy my magnificence, make it visible, make it obvious to me. Display and reveal yourself to me. Make yourself known to me." Again, he'd already experienced this up in the mount. "Make yourself plain to me, that I may see you, that I may feel your presence." And again, the word glory is something you not only see, it's something you feel. In verse 19 of Exodus 33, the Lord assured Moses that he would do so, that he would show him his glory. But he added in verse 20 that no man can see my face and live. But then he added in verse 21, "Behold, there is a place." There is a place. No man can see my face. No man can see my full glory and live. And that's true. That's still true today. But there is a place. There is a place by me. So there is Moses in need of great assurance. And God says, "There is a place by me. You can't, but there is a place." Those are very special words. The scene in Psalm 91, without going through the psalm, is set throughout the psalm. Throughout the psalm, we read of the snare of the fowler, speaking of the traps and the entanglements and that are skillfully and strategically laid in our path by an enemy. And there is the noisome pestilence in Psalm 91. We read of the terror by night. We read of the arrow that flieth by day. We read of the pestilence that walketh or marches in darkness. There is the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And we read those words, "A thousand shall fall by thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand." We read the word evil. We read the word plague. We read of the lion, the adder, and the dragon. Powerful enemies. But in the midst of all of that, there is the secret place of the Most High. And I believe that's the same place that God told Moses of. In fact, I believe you could make a pretty strong argument that Psalm 91 is probably a psalm of Moses. But we're not going to go there. This is a very special place. There is a place, the secret place of the Most High. And it is a very, very special place. In response to the yearning of Moses, "Show me thy glory," God said, "Behold." So what is going to follow is something very significant, something of great consequence. He said, "There is." There is. Not there was, not there shall be, though both of those are true. There is. Presently, right now, Moses, there is a place by me. It speaks of something very particular, a very specific place. And it was in that place that God would grant Moses his request, "Show me thy glory." He would get a glimpse. He couldn't see it all because no man can live. You're going to have a glorified body. But he could get a glimpse. But it was in this place. The words, "There is a place," speak of something distinct. Speak of something very real. It is the distinct and real place where God would grant the request of Moses. There is a place, and it is a place of God's providing. It is a place approved by God. It is a place accepted by God. Behold, there is a place. Psalm 91 makes it clear that it is a place of shelter. It is a place of safety. It is a place of security. It is a place of blessing. From our text here in Exodus 33, we see it is a place that is near to God. That is, you can't be in this place and be far from God. There is a place by me. Near to me. And it's a special place. And it's in that place that I will grant you your request to a degree. He says again, "There is a place by me." He also says, "It is upon a rock," in verse 21. "It is upon a rock." Speaking of the stability of this place. And we see it's in the cliff or crevice of this rock. So this is a big rock. This is a large rock. And there is a crevice in the rock large enough for a man to get inside of. That's the picture that is before us. And from Psalm 91 in verses 1 and 2, this place is God Himself. The place is a person. The place is God. The place is none other than Jesus Christ. And it's the most special place in all the world. Jesus Christ. It is the most extraordinary place in all the world. It is the most notable, it is the most remarkable, it is the most peculiar place that there is. Jesus Christ. Whatever your spiritual condition, whatever your spiritual condition at this very moment, whatever your circumstances, whatever your needs, hear God say, "Behold, there is a place. By me." You don't get to this place by getting further from God. This place is by God. It's near to God. It's the secret place of the Most High. This place should be our way of life. It ought to be where we live. Again in Psalm 91 in verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Means you can live there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. This isn't just a place that you can visit every now and then. This is a place where you can dwell. No matter where you are. The secret place. So not only is there a place, this place is Jesus, and we can dwell there, which means that it is accessible. You can get to it. You can enter into it. Again, a place where we can dwell. A place where we can reside. A place where we can continue. A place where we can remain. We can dwell there. It is a place where we can be settled. Again, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The picture is someone who is very settled in that place. Again, this is where we ought to live. Settled. Abiding in Jesus Christ. It is a place of connection. Connection with God. It is a place of love. It is a place of confidence. It is a place of security. It is a place of comfort and joy. We all need security. We all need comfort and joy. And God says, behold, there is a place. There is a place where you can experience these things. There is a place where I can find deliverance. There is a place where I can find courage. It is the place of God's special presence. And Jesus, being the God-provided place, said, as we saw this morning in John 15 and 4, abide in me. Why? Because he's that place. He's that place. Moment by moment, abide in me. Day by day, abide in me. In ordinary life, abide in me. When life isn't ordinary, abide in me. At this very present moment, abide in me. At all times, abide in me. At all times, there is a place. There has to be. Or you couldn't abide there. There is a place. But keep in mind, God says it's by me. It is God. It's close to God. And in this place is where the rich blessings of God flow. And we can dwell there. That ought to be our life. It ought to be the place where we live. In all the varying circumstances of life, we need to hear God say to you and I personally, behold, there is a place by me. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know this. I don't know that. Behold, there is a place by me. And then hear Jesus say, abide in me. There is a dwelling place. There is a place of accommodation for the child of God. And it is in this place where our needs and our cares and our burdens are met. There is a place by me. And again, that place is Jesus Christ. A God-provided place. What grace, what mercy that God would provide me a place in His Son. It is a place of strength. It is a place of durability and shelter. It is a place where there's everything I need. We all have needs. And what we need isn't out there. What we need is in this place that Jesus, that God refers to. That place is Jesus Christ. There is a place of special experiences. Moses, having already experienced the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai, comes to Exodus 33. He's in a place of great need. He's now seeking the assurance of God's presence and guidance and help. And he cries out, "Show me thy glory." God's glory is the outward expression of who He is. So he's asking God to show him who He is. God's glory is the sum total of who He is. It's as if Moses said, "Lord, I want to know everything I can know about You." That ought to be true of us. I want to know everything I can know. We can't know everything there is to know, but I ought to want to know everything I can know about the Lord. It's as if he is saying, "Lord, I want to see and experience the fullness of who You are. I want to be as close to You as I can possibly be." Moses is pleading, "Lord, make Your beauty and Your magnificence visible and obvious to me. Display, reveal Yourself, make Yourself known to me in such a way again that I not only see who You are, but I feel Your person." These are the words of someone who has already tasted the goodness of God. He was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And he wants more. These are the words of someone who knows enough to know he can't ever get enough. "Show me thy glory." And God said to Moses, "There is a place by me." He went on to scribe, "Thou shalt stand upon a rock." And then notice what he says in verse 22 and 23 of Exodus 33. "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift or cleft of the rock. And I'll cover you with my hand." It shows the awesomeness of God. "I will cover you with my hand. I will shield you from my glory while I pass by. And when I get almost by, I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts." In other words, you'll get a glimpse. You'll get a glimpse of my glory, but my face shall not be seen. Where would Moses experience this? In that place. Where would Moses get a glimpse of the glory of God? In that place. In the cleft of the rock, Moses would see the goodness, the sovereignty, the mercy, the grace, and the long-suffering of God. And as we abide in that place, as we abide in Christ, we see God. We see God. If you want to get just a glimpse of God's glory, you got to be in that place. Abiding in Christ, not only do we get a glimpse of His glory, But it's there that we get a proper view of all things. We don't get a proper view of all things out there. We get a proper view when we're in this place, when we abide in Jesus Christ. You see, it's as we're in Jesus Christ that we see what we need to see. We see a lot of things that we don't need to see. We see a lot of things that do us harm. But in this place, Jesus Christ, there's nothing you'll see there that'll hurt you. It's all for your good. In the cleft of the rock, not only did Moses see something, but he felt something special. God said to him, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and cover thee. Like with a blanket, but it was with his hand. I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Don't you think that Moses felt presence of that hand? He most certainly did. And where is it that we experience the presence of God in that place? Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus said, abide in me. It was in that place that Moses felt the reality and felt the power and felt the influence and felt God's presence. It was in that place that he felt all of those things. So he saw something. He got a glimpse of God's glory. And this would all help him in leading this people. And he not only got a glimpse of God's glory, but he felt the overshadowing presence of God. But it's only in that place. People want to live out in the world. They want to get down in the ditch with the ungodly. And they want to feel the presence of God. Oh, you might get down in the ditch and you might feel the presence of God, but it's not the presence you're looking for. In the cleft of the rock, Moses experienced something extraordinary. He experienced something that he could not experience anywhere else. He experienced the glory of God in the cleft of the rock. Out in the world, of course, is we can experience a lot of things. But we need to hear God say, behold, there is a place. There is a place. That place is Jesus. It is a place where I can abide. It is a place where I can personally experience the life of God. A place where I can experience the light of God. It is a place where I can receive refreshment from God, hope and strength and edification and encouragement. These are discouraging times. And there isn't any one of us that do not need to be encouraged. And when we do, we need to hear those words, behold, there is a place. There is a place where you'll be encouraged all the time. And that's why Jesus says, abide in me. There is a place where we can have joy. There is a place where we can experience rejuvenation. A place where we can experience relief and deliverance and fulfillment and contentment and peace and refreshment. There's a place, Jesus, where we find courage and stability and security. And even victory. Thanks be unto God, there is a place where I can experience and draw from the love and the care and the favor of God. That's why Jesus said, abide in me. He is that place. In our text, again, Moses was in a time of great need. God speaks personally to him. It's wonderful when God speaks personally. And he says, "Behold, there is a place by me." Jesus Christ is that place. And there's no other place like it. It is a place that has brought more comfort, more hope, more cheer than any other place. It is a place, and every single day, under all circumstances, there's these words: there is a place. There is a place. No matter what your is, there is a place. There is a place. The question is, and again, we can abide there. There is a place, Jesus, and I can abide there. The question is, do I want to see the glory of God? That'll help you more than anything, to just get a glimpse of God's glory. Sometimes when we're in trials, we pray that God would remove the trial. Many times we need to pray, "Lord, show me thy glory." I'm here to tell you that'll help you more than if he removes the trial. Just a glimpse. But you got to be in that place. Do we want to see and experience the fullness of God? There is a place. Do we want to be close to God? There is a place. And I believe most people here do want these things. And there is a place. Do you want to know more of God? There is a place. You want to live in the joy of God? Hear God say, "Behold, there is a place." Not out yonder, but by me. By me. The only place that you can experience these things that Moses experienced, and it's Jesus. Notice the effect that this place had upon Moses. I mean, can you abide in this place and it not have an effect upon you? Many would have you think so, but I'm sorry, I don't believe that. God told Moses, there is a place. And then he proceeded to explain to Moses, there in Exodus 33, verses 21 through 23, how that Moses would be able to see the glory of God in this place. In Exodus 34, verses 1 through 4, God instructs Moses. And in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, God did what he said he would do. He passed by. And Moses got a glimpse. And in Exodus 34 and verse 8, we read of the effect that this had upon Moses. He got a glimpse of God's glory. And here was the effect. And Moses made haste. Quickly, without any delay, without the least hesitation, he bowed his head toward the earth. That's humility and reverence. And he worshiped. That's what you'll do every single time when you get a glimpse of the glory of God. And where do we get that? There is a place. Jesus Christ. So being in that place, God's glory passes by, and Moses was compelled. He couldn't do anything else. It was the only thing he could do. He worshiped. He worshiped. Being in that place, Moses made haste to show reverence to God. Included in worship is the exaltation of God. Moses made haste to exalt the Lord. Included in worship is praise. Moses made haste to praise the Lord. Included in worship is thankfulness. So Moses made haste to thank the Lord. This was the result of just a glimpse of God's glory in this place. Worship is an expression of love. And Moses made haste to express his love to the Lord. Included in worship is surrender to the Lord. And Moses made haste to surrender to the Lord. Included in worship is a drawing near unto God. Moses made haste to draw near. Moses felt something that day. He felt a passion, an eagerness, and a zeal. And he could only do one thing. He bowed his head in worship. That's what he did. And I don't believe you can do anything else when you experience that. And in Exodus 34 and verse 35, if we turn there, there was an outward change in Moses. And I'm sorry, Exodus, I've got to get to Exodus. I'm missing about half the pages in Exodus. It's like a loose leaf here. Exodus 34, 35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. It was all over Moses. God was all over him because of what he experienced. And where did he experience it? In that place. Jesus Christ. The evidence of spending time with Jesus could be seen by the people. And that is still true today. You cannot spend time with Jesus and it not be evident. You can't spend time in the world if you not be evident. Where you dwell is evident. And we're either going to dwell out there or we're going to dwell in the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the vine, abide in me. For you and I are there saved. Where did we find salvation? We found it in this God-given place, Jesus Christ. You didn't find it anywhere else. Perhaps, since we've been saved, perhaps we've wandered from that place. And if you have, you're not where you should be. You're not where you could be. Because no matter how far you've wandered, there is a place. And still by God. It's still Jesus Christ. So that special place where you found deliverance, where you found joy of soul, still exists today. It's still accessible today. So if you have wandered from that place, you need to get back there. You need to get back there. Because that place is still there. Nothing else will work. Nothing else will end a life of wandering. But getting back to that place. To the unsaved, You have violated the law of God. That's pretty serious. That makes you a criminal against God. It means that you have rebelled against the authority of God. You are guilty before God. And because of all of that, you are under the condemnation of God. And I pray that you would hear God say, "Behold, there is a place. There is a place by me. It is in that place that the spiritually dead, the depraved, the disobedient, the defiled, and the doomed can have life. But only in that place. There is a place by me, God says, where you can have justification. Where you can have reconciliation with God. Where you can have forgiveness and cleansing. Man may say, well, I'm doing the best I can to make peace with God. It'll never happen. It won't happen outside of this place. Jesus Christ. There is a place where the unworthy and the undeserving can have acceptance with God. And it's Jesus. Someone will say, well, I just feel so unworthy. Good. You ought to. You are. You are unworthy. But there's a place. There's a place for the unworthy. It's Jesus. There is a place where man can stand before God and not be consumed. Remember, God said to Moses, no man can see my face and live. But there is a place. I'll put you in that place, and I'll cover you, and my glory will pass by, and you'll get a glimpse. There is a place where man can stand before God and not be consumed. And it's only in Jesus. If you're depending on anything else tonight, you had better hope that you don't leave this life depending on whatever you're depending on. You need Jesus Christ. And all the joy and the gratitude and the praise that there should be at the thought that there is a place. Again, we've said this many times. I don't understand why, well, I do, but why so many people get so offended that there's only one way. You need to stop and thank God that there is one way. Because we don't deserve there to be any way. That God made a way. That God says there is a place. By me, you ought to thank God. So whatever your condition, whatever your circumstance, you need to hear God say, whether you're saved or unsaved, behold, there is a place by me. I'm glad. I'm eternally grateful that I know that place. I'm eternally grateful that I can dwell in that place. I can live there. That's home. Abide in me. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a blessing to be able to be in that place. Have you ever felt yourself in that place? Have you ever felt yourself in the cleft of that rock? In the shadow of His hand, over top. That's a special place. The world has no such place. This is a place by God. It's near the God. Again, you cannot dwell in Jesus Christ and be far from God. It is not possible. May we thank the Lord, you and I that are saved, that we know about this place. And that we know we can have hope for our unsaved loved ones because we know there's a place. Don't be ashamed to tell anyone there's a place. There's a place where you can find acceptance with God. It's Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.